Tonight's reading is taken from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 17 to 20. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let's start rebuilding." So they began this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. "What's this you're doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" I answered them by saying, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it." Amen.
Okay, it's great to be preaching once again this Sunday. Last Sunday, for those of you who missed it or unable to watch online, was our Vision Sunday. And all I tried to do was to give you a sense of what the Lord has laid on my heart for this next chapter in the life of Buckingham Parish Church. And we read how Nehemiah prayed and fasted and asked God to listen to his prayers and to show him favor. I likened his challenge of rebuilding to our challenge of rebuilding our congregations. And his vision, in one sense, was not at all radical. It was nevertheless a huge challenge. And I think perhaps ours will be too. There's nothing radical, really, about trying to get back to where we once were before the pandemic struck. But I do think it's going to be hard work. And I mentioned that a part of this vision was that you, the body of Christ, the church, should feel held in these uncertain and troubling times. And oh my goodness, they just seem to get more and more troubling as each day goes by. And I said that perhaps now wasn't the time for a crazy, overambitious vision. It should be a time of growing deeper in our relationships with one another through our connect groups, but also, of course, going deeper with our relationship with God. I love reading about military history and watching war films like Kelly's Heroes. Some of you will be old enough to remember that one. And what used to happen is when a formation like an armored division came out of the battle, battered and bruised, having been knocked about badly by the enemy, it used to go into a safe area, a rear area, where it did reconstitution, rehabilitation, refurbishment, reinforcement, rearming, refueling, rest, and some recuperation and recreation. I've always loved all those re's. See if I can, if you can think of any more re's you can get up to, then please let me know at the end. Now, I'm not saying for a moment we should withdraw from our community, withdraw from our mission, but I just like the sense of being in a space where we get stronger, ready for this next chapter in the life of the church. And it's a chapter where we're going to rebuild, God willing, a family service starting next Sunday at 11 a.m., where we continue to build up the numbers of this congregation and where we grow deeper with God and continue to serve our community, in particular getting behind this new Kickstart initiative, which you heard Brian Hubbard talking about last Sunday. So anyway, that's the vision. I thought it would be helpful just to remind people what I said last Sunday. But today I want to talk to you about what we need to make all that happen. And that's where stewardship comes in. Stewardship is really all about how we use what God has given us for his glory. So stewardship involves what we do with our time, our talents, our money, our resources, the environment. And a question to ask is, Do we consider all these things with which we have been blessed as our personal property to do with what we want? Or do we understand that God has blessed us with them that we might glorify his name through their good use? Or put it another way, do we understand that we have a duty to use them in a way that is pleasing to God? So, for example, if I was feeling very, very generous and I gave you 1,000 acres to go and farm, you would understand that, you know, in response to this huge gift, you would almost certainly want to do your best to show me that you were being a good steward of that farm and making sure you were harvesting and planting and looking after the cattle and doing really well. It makes sense, doesn't it? I'm always struggling with this issue with Theo, my 11-year-old. So he asks me for 10 quid to spend on something, and I'm assuming he's up in his group right now, and I doubt he's going to be watching the live stream later. He asked me for £10 to spend on something that is utter rubbish, okay? It's either plastic rubbish or it's some extra bit of armor or a weapon he can buy so he can play Fortnite more effectively. It will just be gone. It's 10 quid, it just goes. There'll be nothing lasting to show for it. And I'm always trying to explain to him, because he hasn't earned this, because this is a gift of £10 to him, if he wants me to give him another £10 later on, he needs to show me that he's a good steward of that £10. Okay, and it's not just coming the top of the leaderboard in Fortnite. So I know that's a childish example, but I hope it actually paints the picture of how God expects us to be good stewards of the things he has given us. So how do we make sure we're using our gifts, our talents, our money, our belongings in a way that is pleasing to God? Well, Danny spoke brilliantly. It's one of the best talks I've ever seen and heard on giving a couple of years ago. And those of you who get my weekly video update, there was a link in there. And I did say that if you promised to watch Danny's talk during the week, I would keep this talk very short. So I'm assuming you've all been good members of the flock here and have watched Danny's talk. So you're going to get a relatively short talk tonight on it. But I want to start by asking the question of why we should give. If you ask yourself, why should I give? Perhaps that's you. Well, the answer is that throughout the history of the church, there's been an expectation of us making some kind of offering to God in recognition of what God has given us. So in Old Testament times, people brought agricultural offerings for sacrifice to thank God for everything. They gave money at the temple. There's a lovely story in Mark chapter 12 of the widow gives her little pennies, and Jesus says, you know, even though she's given a tiny amount of money, she's actually given so much more than all these sort of very, very wealthy people who made a big show of giving lots of money. Next Sunday at Harvest, and of course Harvest Festival is a very traditional thing that we've done in the Anglican Church for centuries and centuries, dating back to a time when people used to come in around about this time of year when the harvest was safely in, but to give thanks. Because, of course, if they didn't get a good harvest, they were seriously threatened with starvation over the winter. So it was a real time of thanksgiving. So instead, this coming Sunday, you're going to come in with a grateful heart, even though you might not be worried about starving if it's a bad winter, and perhaps to donate some non-perishable food to the food bank. In Acts, we see that people contributed possessions and money, some even selling their property to give the money to the church, to the people of God, with the very simple aim that there should be enough to go around for everyone. And Paul talks about taking up offerings in one church to raise funds to send to another church that was struggling in another part of the world. You may or may not be aware, one of the joys of this church is there's lots of people from different denominations. People who've come out of free churches, the Roman Catholics, and I don't know how all those other denominations run themselves, but in the Church of England, there's no magic cash dispenser from head office. In fact, it works the other way around. So we don't get any central funding. Everything you see, everything you're sitting on, all the staff salaries, my salary, my housing, everything like that, is all paid for by you and me. And more than that, Buckingham Parish Church every year pays what is called a parish share. So we write a big check for £90,000 to the diocese. The diocese pays for me, but me and my housing only costs about £50,000. So we give them a lot extra. And that's so that they can then use that extra money to pay their head office costs and also to support other churches who can't afford their share. So we're giving over and above what we cost to the diocese. And we at BPC, we obey the biblical command to give and to give generously. So in addition to what extra we give to the diocese, 10% of everything that comes in, we give away. That's called a tithe. So we tithe and we support a mission partner. We send money to the St. George's Church in Baghdad. We support a seminary in India, raising up new church leaders who are going out to plant churches. We support three other projects in India. And we also support Open Doors. That's our main charitable link, Open Doors, and it was lovely to have Kate pray specifically for Open Doors and their work earlier on. And then the other 90% of our income just goes on all our costs, running this church, everything we do, and our operations out of the centre. And you'll hear more about this at the annual church meeting. So that's why we give. So how much do we give? Danny covered this really well, and I've already mentioned this Old Testament concept of a 10% tithe. I don't know whether it's good or bad news, but there's nothing that's kind of laid down in concrete in the Bible to specify exactly how much we should give, probably because God just wants us to give out of love and not out of compulsion or adherence to a set of rules. So Lucia and I, for example, we try to give our 10%, and each year we try and add another 1% onto that. But you know, rather than focus on any particular percentage, I just really encourage you, if you haven't sort of started to regularly set aside a gift, to do so. The key thing is to make a start. Interestingly, the good old C of E, its recommendation, because it's nice, it's a very moderate church, nothing radical in the C of E, just 5% to start with. But interestingly, what the suggestion is if your income is stable, and I know that for many that is absolutely not the case at the moment, people being made redundant, people being on furlough, all the rest of it, but if you do have a stable income, perhaps for the period of the pandemic and 2021, you could perhaps raise your giving by a couple of percentage points until our finances recover. And hopefully, with the kind of age demographic here slightly lower than the traditional congregation, people are a lot more used to giving online, something that's online. It's so much easier. It means you don't forget. And we are able to plan. So that's the best way. And I'm just going to show you a short video from Brian and Tracy Roskell, who have taken over the stewardship. They're doing a fantastic job. If you've got any questions, see them, just to explain about that a little bit further.
Hello, I'm Brian Roskell, and this is Tracy Roskell. and together we're responsible for overseeing stewardship at Buckingham Parish Church. We've taken on from the great work that Judith Bundock has done over many years, so thank you, Judith. And we also want to say a massive thank you to everybody who's been able to support the church financially over recent months in particular when things have got so tough. And for those who haven't yet got round to doing any giving, please do start.
It's really easy to do. Our preferred method is by a monthly standing order set up through your bank. But there are plenty of other ways, and the details of all of that can be found on the giving page of the church website.
Tracy and I are passionate about ensuring that our church has the resources we need to keep on doing the great stuff we're already doing, but also all the important stuff we're doing to reach out to our community to serve them in an area that needs so much love and support, particularly now. So thank you for your faithfulness.
Great. And the other question, I guess, is perhaps who should give? Who should give? And the name of the game here is grace. We don't want, I mentioned earlier, there's nothing specific in the Bible. It's between you and the Lord what you give. Don't forget that God loves a cheerful giver. So I think he'd rather you didn't give than kind of gave in a bad attitude. But if you can, you should. And I know for many times are hard. Our own food banks high level of activity is testimony to that. So please don't feel guilty if this is a season where you're really struggling and can only afford to give relatively little. Now, I chose the passage from Nehemiah partly because I've been really enjoying rereading Nehemiah, but also because it follows on from last Sunday's reading. But in particular, because really the passage has got nothing to do with giving, I've got to confess. There was one amazing line in it. It's a wonderful statement of faith. Nehemiah says this, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding." It's just a wonderful picture of a man with this passionate, God-given vision, standing in front. I mean, I don't know if you've kind of thought about this, but when they destroyed the walls of Jerusalem, those walls were meters thick. We're not talking a little brick wall like this. We're talking about from here to there, massive stones, and they were systematically destroyed by the Assyrians when they razed the city. So to rebuild those walls was not just, can you give me a hand? Just bring a couple of bricks over here and let's mix them. I mean, we're talking a massive undertaking. And he stands in front of these walls and says, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding." There's a wonderful certainty. He's claiming this promise that God is faithful. And I want us to claim that promise today. The God of heaven will give us success. Jesus tells Peter that he is the rock on which the church is founded and against which the gates of hell will not prevail. It's going to happen. We're going to do this together. So I'm confident that the God of heaven will give us success. And what do we need to start rebuilding? Well, apart from a foundation of prayer, which is crucial, our needs are as follows. In order to continue doing all the great things you are doing, this church is delivering, serving the community, employing the team, delivering our acts of worship here in Buckingham and online, maintaining a beautiful Grade 1 listed building, which is also a very functional building, I might add. We rely on routine, regular income. Now, the next few months, we'll see us spending £30,000 refacing some of the stonework. I don't know if you've noticed, but some of the outside layer of the stone is spalling. It's water's got inside, it's frozen, it's expanded, and it's blistering out, and it's falling down. We've had someone come along to make it all safe, but there's £30,000 worth of new stonework needs to go in. Then there's another £25,000-£30,000 worth of work. The corner in the kitchen back there is subsiding gently. Luckily, very gently and not too quickly. It's not in a great hurry. But there is a 2-inch crack up at the top. Don't worry, parents, if your youth are up in a youth group up there. It's been surveyed and it's quite safe. But there's a lot of work to underpin that corner back there. And of course, the more things we do, the more resources we need. And so that, in a nutshell, is why we need to give generously. I know this has been a very practical talk tonight, but I do hope it all makes sense. I hope I've explained why it's natural to want to give, and I hope you now understand where a little bit about where your money goes. If you're interested for further information, do please tune in to the annual church meeting, download all the financial reports. So if you haven't yet got around to setting up some kind of standing order to support the church, or you're not, you're only just starting to think about it, please do commit to making a step of faith with your finances. It's really easy to do. And we give out of love. Because if we understand what Jesus has given for us, it should be a natural response to want to be able to give something back to help grow his kingdom. I came across this today. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. So let me close in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your only Son to die in our place on the cross so that we might not perish but have eternal life. Help us, Lord, to understand the magnitude of your love for us and encourage us to respond in some way with a cheerful heart to give something back. And we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.